Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Alrighty. Well, we have a word, but before we do, I want to pray a blessing and ask the Holy Spirit to come and teach us tonight. Can we do that? Holy Spirit, we just come before you. We humble our hearts as your children. And God, we ask that you would teach us something new tonight. God, that you would give us an eyes of understanding and ears to hear, that you would show us and teach us from your word. And God, that you would bring a revelation to us that will change us, God, and that will mold us. And Lord, that it will lead us to new directions and new paths that you need us to go. And so we thank you for what it is you're doing. We thank you for where you're going. And we thank you, God, that we are on this journey with you. And Lord, we're in love with you. So speak to us tonight in Jesus' mighty name. We pray, God, over every church that is preaching the gospel on a Sunday night, God. Lord, we ask that you bless their services right now. God, I ask that their churches would be full, and Lord, that the body of Christ would begin to grow, and that there would be an awesome army of God being raised up in the houses of God. And so, Lord, we thank you for our fellow believers. Lord, bless their services and pour out your spirit upon them in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. If you're wondering who is this lady, my name is Jessica Roth, and I am Pastor Dan's wife, but I'm also Jim and Deborah Cobray, the founders of this church's daughter. So I'm kind of like crazy and hyper and bold like my dad. And am I not like both parents? I'm kind of a mix of both. And so Pastor Luke, do you remember Pastor Luke? He's been gone so long. Do you remember him? Anyways, yeah. He's on a journey finding a church to see where God has called him to go. And so he's traveling right now. And but he's my brother. And so that's kind of the connect. If you don't know who I am, I'm all of those things. But before that, I am a daughter of the Most High God. And I believe God has called me and used me to do some amazing things. And I'm excited about the word tonight. Pastor Dan asked me to preach, and I was on my message for Women Rock, because how many of my Women Rock girls are here? Women Rock on Thursday mornings and the PMs and Girls Night Outs. Girls, this Thursday, here's a plug. Come Thursday night, we're having our girlfriends PM, and it's my big sissy. And she's an amazing speaker. So you need to come out, bring your friends, bring your babies, bring everybody, and we can take care of you. And then we're going to eat pancakes and bacon, and we don't have to share with any of the men. Okay, so we get to pig out. But anyways, we're going to have a great time. So at Women Rock, I was getting ready. We're going through the book of Ephesians. And Pastor Dan says to me, you know, can you do Sunday night? And most of the time I'd be like, no. And I was reading and the Lord said, I have something I need you to talk to them about. And this is what the title of the message is. It's called Looking Where You're Going. Many times God wants to do something new inside of us. And sometimes have you ever felt like sometimes you're walking around and you feel blind? Maybe like you're going, what is wrong? What's happening in life? Why are things not matching up? Or why is everything going awry? Or maybe you're going, I feel like I'm just not good enough at this. Or maybe this isn't the path I need to be on. And many times we aren't looking where we're supposed to be going because we're distracted by the things around us. And tonight we're going to learn about some men in the Bible from the Old Testament and the New Testament, where they went when they kept their gaze and their focus on Jesus, and how we ourselves can get there, and how we can flip the script on the enemy's plans for our lives. So we're going to look forward to what God has for us. So if you are ready for the word tonight, why don't you open up to 2 Samuel 11. When we are distracted in life, many times I know, especially when I'm studying and I hear my kids fighting. Have you ever done that? Just this week, we moved into a new house, and I'm learning the house. You know, like when you get into a new house, you don't know where to put your keys. You don't know like where do things go. You know, people are like, I'll come over and I'll help you. And I'm like, I don't know how to tell you what to help me with because I don't know where things go. And so sometimes I have to stand in a room and I have to look around and I have to just stare. And I just have to stare at the cabinets, and I have to stare in the, and I'm like cooking the other day and everything's in the wrong spot. And God told me, stop and look. You're not setting this up right, and you're frustrated because you're not in order. And I was like, oh. So I moved some things around and it made the experience in the kitchen a little smoother. And then he said to me, you need to get that toy room fixed because we just threw everything into this room. And then we had a birthday party for my daughter. So then it was like worse, you know, because kids just start throwing things and I didn't even know what was down there. And I'm like stepping like this. And if you know me, I am a clean freak. Like I only function in order. I like things put in their place. I like to know where I can grab something and move on because if I have to dig through it, then I'm crabby. Does anyone else get crabby in here? Okay, just one girl, you go. And so I get crabby. And so the Lord said, look around and see what you need before you go out shopping. And I said, all right. And so I looked around the room. I went downstairs and I looked around. I said, I need a lot of storage because there's a lot of Legos. Does anybody have too many Legos? You know, those things that you step on in the middle of the night and you think I'm going to hell because of the words that are coming out of my mouth right now. Those Legos, man, they could kill a person. They're sharp and they're scary. All right. And so I had way too many Legos and I said to God, well, I need a good deal because I've been looking at some of the storage and it's way overpriced and I'm not paying that price. He said, go to Home Goods. I went to Home Goods and they marked it down like 70%, these really cool storage bins. Man, I swooped those things up and while I was in line ready to buy them, this lady was over there like stroking my storage bins. And I was like looking at her, like you better not even touch my storage bins. Those are mine. I purchased those. And I heard the Holy Spirit go, back down, Tiger, back down. But she was checking them out. She was looking around to see if anybody else was going to get them. It's a dog eat dog out there. When you're shopping, you better be on your game because somebody's going to take what you're looking at. Anyways, we got ourselves in order. We got ourselves in line. But yet it wasn't until I had to stop and I had to look and see where I was going because I felt like for 2 weeks it was in my wrong head down, just keep going. Well, you don't walk very good when your head is down. You fall, you make mistakes, you're distracted, life becomes a mess. All of a sudden, do you understand why you're easily frustrated? Well, maybe it's because you haven't looked up to see where direction you're going in. You know, my parents used to have a sailboat, and if they did not put that online, if they would just let it drift a bit, you would end up in a totally, if you're headed to Catalina, but you don't keep those gauges where they're supposed to be, you're gonna end up on a whole nother, but you'll end up in Mexico. You will end up in the wrong era and you will go, how did I get here? But you didn't keep your focus and your gaze and what are you looking at? If I asked you to walk backwards through life, would you do it well without tripping? I don't think so. And that's what God is saying to you. You don't have to walk through life backwards. You don't have to walk through life blind. You don't have to walk through life feeling like, why? And everything I touch isn't right. And everything that I do, I don't see clearly. God says, I've given you my word, which will show you clearly where to go. But you're not looking up. You're not looking into the word. It's just like reach. Reach up, reach in, reach out. You have to look up to God before you can reach in. And then you can only reach out until you've done those two things. Because you've got to get yourself in line with what God's word has for you. So tonight, I want to take you to the story of King David. If you go to 2 Samuel with me, King David, every time I hear about King David, I'm just amazed by him. When you hear the story of when he's, you know, killing Goliath and he's just this young man ready for a battle and ready to fight. How amazing is that story? Then he becomes king and he's blessed and he's anointed by God, but he has a mishap. And I want to read this to you. And it says, it happened, for 2 Samuel 11:1, it happened in the spring of the year at the time when kings go out to battle. But David sent Joab and his servants with him of all of Israel and destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged in Rabbah. And David remained in Jerusalem. So he did not go out. This was when he should have gone out, but he decided not to go out. Verse 2, then it happened one evening when David arose from his bed and he walked on the roof of the king's house. So this is at night. And from the roof, he saw a woman. Right there, that was his demise, bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, wife of Uriah the Hittite? I do think, side note, don't you think it's a little weird her name is Bathsheba? Like she's taking a bath in the middle of the night and her name is Bathsheba. Anyways, the Bible just, I think it has a little tongue in cheek sometimes. Then David sent the messengers, verse 4, and took her, and she came to him. Now listen, she could not say no to a king. You would die back then. You go, well, you know, what was she doing? She knew what she was doing. It was the middle of the night. She probably thought, good, this is my time. I could get clean with nobody around. My husband's out of town. I just need to get myself put together. When he called for her, he slept with her. You cannot tell a king no. You will lose your head. The authority, you have no say. So here they go. He goes and he sleeps with her. In verse 4. For he cleansed and he took her and she came to him and they lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived. That means she was pregnant. So she sent to David and she said, I am with child. The story goes on that David panics. So he says, we're going to do some things to cover this up. We're going to try and bring back her husband and we're going to get them to sleep together so that so he thinks it's his child. But his soldier was so committed to him, so committed and loyal to the house of God or to the kingdom of David, that he said, I'm going to not go sleep with my wife when my men are out there fighting. I will come, I will give you a report, but I am not going to indulge myself in pleasure while the rest of my team is out there hurting and dying and not eating. And David was like, wow, this guy's a good guy, you know, and I messed up. So that didn't work. So then David tells them to put him on the front line because he knew he would die. And sure enough, he gets put on the front line of that war and he died. So David took Bathsheba into himself and into his home. She had her child, but before that, a prophet came to David, told him a story. And in this story, he told David, what would you do if this man was unjust? And he said, that's wrong. And he said, that's you. And God says to you, you better change, that you did wrong, and because of your sin, your son will see death. David ripped his clothes. He got alone. He lamented. He fasted. He prayed. But his son still passed. After that, he married Bathsheba. They had another son, and you know him by the name of Solomon. God restored everything back because David's heart was broken. David's heart was repentant before God. David knew that night that his son died. What can I do? I did everything I could do in the natural, but I did this to my family. But yet God, the forgiving, just God, allowed David back into his bosom and still allowed David to be called a man after God's own heart. That shows me that don't play around with God. Do what's right before God. Don't allow your little eyes to see what you shouldn't be seeing. And don't allow it to lead your heart to places it shouldn't be led. David didn't have to lose that child. He didn't have to break a family apart. It didn't have to be that way. But then there's a merciful God right behind all of it. And he brought him back. He gave him his son Solomon. You see, God restores everything. Then there's another man in the New Testament. So go with me to John 9 in the New Testament. I love the stories. There's probably like a million gazillion stories about, you know, seeing and people moving towards God and people moved by what they see in the Bible. But I had to pick two for time's sake. And this one is about the blind man. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of it because I can't read you the whole chapter. Unless we were in Bible college, we could really dissect this. But we only have 40 minutes, so we'll just go ahead and do this. In John 9, I'm going to get there. Is anybody there? Are you guys ever faster than me? I notice that my phone still takes me as slow as my Bible does. Okay. In John 9, the blind man. And it says, now Jesus passed by, and he saw a man who was blind from birth. And this is verse 1. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who has sinned, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You see, it was about to become Sabbath. And they see this blind man on the street, and Jesus is going to do a miracle on him. He knew that this blind man needed a miracle from God. And so he bends down, and he takes the dust of the earth, And he spits in it and he makes clay and he wipes his eyes and he tells him to go and dip in the pool of Siloam. This man goes and he dips in the pool of Siloam, and all of a sudden, he can see. He's an older gentleman at this time. He has lived life without seeing clearly. Can you imagine the moment that he sees? What is he looking at? He doesn't even know what the man that wiped the clay on his eyes looks like. But yet he walks and he goes and he begins to tell people what's happening. And he tells the Pharisees what's going on. They're questioning him. And they say, a man healed you? It's the Sabbath. Not hallelujah, a man healed you, you have a miracle. But it's the Sabbath. They begin to argue whether or not this is really the man, the blind man that they all walked by and paid no attention to. They all argued with him, the one who knew he was blind and could not see and now can see. They argued with him and said, are you sure you're the man? Are you sure? How many times has God done something for you and you've seen a miracle, but the whole world around you didn't see it but you? There's a lesson in that. That's a side note message. Maybe we'll go there one day. Because I believe God healed his eyes and he wanted to show the Pharisees something incredible. We'll go on in the story. As the story goes on, they bring his parents in and they say, is this your son? And they say, well, he's old enough to tell you what happened himself, but yes, this is our son. And yes, he was blind. Well, how did he get healed? Well, we don't know. Why don't you ask him? And so they ask him again, who healed you? A man, a prophet. And they said, how did he do it? With clay, I've already told you, if you keep asking me, why are you asking me over and over again? The man that was blind was frustrated. He's like, you're not hearing me. I can see you, but you don't hear me. And here's God, and he says, I love this in John 9. After he had gone through all that with the Pharisees, Jesus had heard that they cast him out. And when he found him, he said to him, verse 9:35, they said to him, who is he, Lord, that I believe in him? And then actually Jesus said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And this is what the blind man said. He answered and he said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. See, think about it. When he got healed, he could not see Jesus. But now God revealed himself again to this blind man and said this. And then it goes on. And the Pharisees, and then he worshiped him. In verse 39, and Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see. You see, God came into this world that us, the broken, the hurting, those that can't see the miracle, those that there's blinders and blockers because the enemy wants to put guards and places and barriers between you and Jesus. Jesus came so you can see again. Jesus came so you could receive your miracle again. Jesus came so you can have a clear path and a clear direction and a clear leading. That is why Jesus came. And that's what he's saying in this verse. And then the Pharisees. Whew, these Pharisees, man. Do you ever just get a fear of God when you read the Bible? Sometimes you're like, oh, let me not be like a Pharisee. Let me, Lord, never be like a Pharisee. 39, it says, for judgment I have come into this world for those that may see, and that those who see may be made blind. What does that mean? I sat there with the Holy Spirit this week and I went, what? And he said, keep reading, Jess. And it says, then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sins remain. What he was saying to them is, I came so you can see. You say you see me, but you don't believe. So you're blind. Because Jesus himself was standing in front of them, and they still did not see who he was in a manifested body. I don't want to be that Christian that doesn't see God working when it's happening right in front of me. I don't want to be the dull-hearted and the poor hearing, and I don't want to be the blind person that when God comes into the room, I don't recognize his spirit. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the Pharisee that says, oh, amen, praise you, Jesus. You put it all over Facebook, and your life lives different. Listen to me. God is saying, stop it. I am standing, I am knocking, I am at your door, I'm waiting to release miracles, I'm waiting to use you in supernatural ways, I'm waiting for my children of God to understand who they are and that the one who created them is standing in front of them ready and to make them be able to see the things that we don't understand. You see, you don't understand things because you're seeing them through dim eyes. You know that song, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. You see, sometimes, what are we looking at? What are we allowing in? My mom used to always say this to me, Jess, your eyes are the gate to your soul. And as a little kid, I'd be like, okay, whatever that means. But now I so get it. Your eyes and your ears. What are we allowing? What are we allowing into our world? David, King David, allowed lust and perversion into his eye gate, and he entertained it. And then his entertaining thoughts turned into actual action. And then it turned into death. And then it turned into death again for his son. Here's this blind man. He didn't even get to see Jesus, but he believed. God healed him. And then he said, do you see me? Do you believe me? Oh, I believe. You see, we can fight or we can follow. We can live for Jesus or we can close our eyes and we could just be more like the world and we could do our own thing. And then we're going to wonder why we're living in hell. It's because you didn't open your eyes to the things of God. Because you didn't switch over into kingdom principles. Because we didn't see things through the eyes of heaven. Listen, church, you can walk out of this room and our city's going to look the same right now. But I don't see that when I drive through. When I drive through, I say, all right, God, more of a challenge. What do you want us to do here? What do you want us to say? Lord, I pray that I send laborers across these streets. Lord, I ask, God, that there be new mindsets, that they would get a hold of the kingdom so that they understand, God, that they would see you face to face in dreams. See, I ask for supernatural because I know that I can't do this on my own, and neither can you. But your prayers can be beautiful pictures of what heaven wants to happen in your homes, in your marriages, in your lives, in your neighbor's lives, in the person in the store that always seems crabby when she's checking you through and you're like, hi, are you having a good day? No. Maybe you always get that person because you're supposed to be the light in her darkness. But you haven't even had your eyes open enough to see that you're the answer. You see, God wants to do something in us tonight, Rock Church. God wants to break something loose over our eyes. Maybe we've been sitting here with these dark glasses on. I have light eyes and I have to wear glasses. If I don't wear glasses outside, I literally can't see. And this is how we walk through life. You see movie stars walking through buildings like this and I'm always like, really? We know who you are. Like, just take them off. Like, we can see you, right? Sorry, I'm a little sarcastic sometimes. But if I walked like that, I would fall down these stairs in this dark room. I wouldn't be prepared for what's going on around me. But if I turn on my glasses, if I put these on and I can't see that clock back there, but when I put this on, ooh, yes, thank you, Jesus. I can now see what time it is. And when you put the lens of Jesus on in your life, it begins to give you a clear picture of what needs to happen and where you need to go and maybe what needs to not be said or maybe what does need to be said. You see, you are not your own. See, I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. And God gave me direction. Put on your lens of Jesus. Let's begin to see how he sees. So how do I protect myself from being David in those times and be more like the blind man who believed and who followed Jesus? Number one, we have to guard our eye gate. What are we watching? You go, oh no, this is one of those legalistic churches. No. I hate when I hear other Christians say that. I had someone tell me that this week about scripture. well, I don't know, very legalistic. That's just like a word I feel like people throw around when they don't want to actually read the Word of God and take it at its core. God says, be holy for I am holy. God says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He's not playing around. Look what happened with David. He's not playing around. He's a good God, a just God, but don't mess with him. He's a kind God, but he's not a soft God. And I love what God does here. He says, guard your eye gates. If we guard our eye gate, then we will not let anything into our hearts and our minds that do not belong there. Sometimes we allow that gate, we allow those things in. Maybe you saw just a snippet of porn. And this goes for men and women. We are not just talking to men, because nowadays I've had a lot of spiritual guidance and it is everywhere. Because you know what? It's a lustful spirit. It doesn't pick one gender over another. But it lures you in, and that's what happened with David. He lusted over Bathsheba, and look what happened. Because God says that he is not okay with adultery. I know the whole world puts it out there on every TV show to dull us down and to get us soft on it. So that we just say, oh, it's common. What's the big deal? That's what they're doing. But the Word of God is saying, guard your eye gate. Guard it. What are you looking at? What are you entertaining? What is being put before you? If we guard our gate, then we will not let anything come into our hearts and our mind that doesn't belong. Don't entertain what wants to bring you fear. One time I remember we were watching the CSI when it first came out. Like the very first one. And I'm like, I love like crime scene shows, and I love like fighting movies, and like I'm the girl that loves a good Western. I was raised with Jim Cabray, everybody. And so I love that kind of stuff. And so we were watching CSI, and I remember Dan had Bible college one night, and I was by myself at home, and we had no kids at this time, and we had just moved into our first house, and I started to hear like noises. And I remember just being like, oh my goodness, what was that? So like, you know, why do we go back into a room we can't escape from? But I did. And I went into a room that had no other doors. And I was like, what was that? Oh my goodness. And then I turned the movie on, or the show on, in my room. So now I'm still watching this. And then I hear another like bang. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Back then we did not have texting. We did not even have, we had a flip phone. And I was lucky if maybe we had one. And so I just remember going, oh no, I'm scared. And I called the sound booth. Like they had the video room back here, and I told my brother, can you tell Luke or Dan to come home as soon as he's done, because I'm scared. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. What are you watching? Well, CSI. Yeah, turn it off. It's putting fear in you, and it's now crippling you from functioning. And I realized, oh yeah, I am. So I stopped watching CSI. And then you know what happened? I like wandered free in my house. I wasn't in fear anymore. I don't even have those weird thoughts, because I would think about how people were killed and like how those things happen. What are you putting in your eye gate? What then do you kind of think on? And then it gets to your heart, and then you kind of get scared. Do you see how this happens? It's very subtle, and you can go, oh, I'm one of those people who doesn't affect. Whatever, because your spirit man is affected by it. It might dull down your spirit man so much that you wonder why you don't have a passion for God anymore. You wonder why God is not your first love anymore. You wonder what's wrong, because you're putting so much in your eye gate except for the things of God that you're not seeing God in any of it. You're only seeing the world and darkness. See, we all can do this, but we have to guard our eye gates. God is asking us to do that. King David allowed that lust to ruin him. Let's not accept what we see if it doesn't line up with God's word. If it doesn't line up with God's word, don't even entertain it. Because what are we doing wasting our time as kingdom kids? What is that going to benefit us? You go, that's kind of hard in this world, Pastor Jess. Like, then we can't have any fun. Listen, I have the funnest life ever. I heard my uncle one time say, you know, you guys don't drink, so like, what do you guys do for fun? Really? I don't think that's fun. Like, I remember every bad thing happened to me when I would drink. So let's just talk about, like, I am sober in Christ, and I'm high on the Holy Spirit, And so life is full and it's wonderful and it's full of life. And when I'm bored, you know what I go do? I go be with God and I'm not bored anymore because I'm with my best friend. Because that moment when you feel kind of like dull and I don't know what I want to do, when you get into your word, it comes alive in your heart because that's what you're focusing on. That's what you're setting your gaze on. That's what you're guarding your internal man in. You see, Rock Church, we've got to get better at this. Can we do this together? Can we promise to set our gaze on God and go further with him? Because God wants us to guard our eye gate. Number two, he wants us to fix our gaze on him. It's one thing to guard it, but what are we looking at and what are we staying focused on? So easy to focus on the next hobby. You know, especially in America, we're always like, everything's at our fingertips. We can get the latest and the greatest, the newest. I mean, I didn't even realize that there's like an iPhone 10 or something. And my kids, of course, were telling me about it. I'm like, really? This is getting out of hand. I mean, come on. It's because it's a marketing ploy and you're getting pulled into it all and you're putting all your money and all your time and all your attention on these things. How many of you shop way too much? Don't raise your hand because your husband's sitting next to you. But maybe you need to knock it off. Maybe you need to spend some more time and set your gaze on Jesus, and then you won't be complaining about having financial problems. You see, many times what we look at a lot, we're gonna go after. What I set my eyes on, I'm going to make it happen. When God wants something done, he will use that as a blessing. But when the devil wants something done, he also uses it to lure you. Change your confession and your prayers towards these situations. Get the God view on your life, the God perspective in your life, and he will direct your life. I love it. In this, by walking in the opposite direction. How many times when you're walking towards something, have you ever walked towards something and it looks like a bad situation? The other day I was at the store and this fight broke out in the middle of the street. And I'm not kidding you, every rough person around me ran to the fight. And I was like, oh heck no. What is wrong with these people? Are you gonna go get in on it? Like, you don't even know what's happening over here. I had my three kids, I was like, we're going the other way and we're calling 911. Because this is foolishness. Listen, what are you running to? What are you focusing on? What are you longing for? You longing for drama? You're gonna get drama. Have you ever met people that like create drama just because they're so used to it? They don't know what to do when there's no drama. They're kind of bored with life. Drama creators. I used to be one of those. Until my mom was like, you realize you created this. Oh, I did. Why do I do that? You see, because I set my focus on those things. When I want to get in the word, but you know, I allow other things to get in my way. Like, oh, there's a TV program I'd really like to watch. Or, oh, there's so many other things I need to do. But I'm going to do that. I'll get back to the word. I don't have a good day. Because I didn't put the word in front of me. Because I wasn't prayed up in my spirit, man. Every attack came at me, and I got it. You see, what are we focusing on? What is it that you're putting in your spirit, man? What is your gaze on? Is it fixed on the boyfriend who will never meet that need? Girls, they will never meet your need because only Jesus is supposed to be the one to meet that need. They come alongside you, and you, in a healthy relationship, do God big, and you celebrate in your light into the darkness in this world. Men, what are we looking at? What are you gazing on? You have to buy the next cool toy? Do you always have to have the latest and the greatest? What if you invested in your time into building the kingdom of God? What if, well, you know, around here we need some men to build us some things. We need some volunteers to come on out and help us build some things. The building is falling apart. What if we put our time to something else? What if we said, you know what, God, I'm going to do something for you because that's more important than what I want, my desires, my fleshly things. God would, I believe heaven would pay attention and go, ooh, I'm going to pour a blessing on them. Now they're ready. Now they're ready for what it is because I can trust them. Changing the channel sometimes is really simple. All you got to do is push up or down. Maybe you go and you pray about something instead of talking about it. All you got to do is zip it. Just zip it. Just when you feel like it's going to come out, go, never mind. I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. Maybe you're doing the opposite. Do the opposite of what you normally do. Some of you and me, I've had to change routines. You know, like you're in a pattern. We are creatures of habit. Did you realize that? Do you realize that? If you think about your day, do you do kind of the same pattern every day? We're creatures of habit. Maybe you need to change the habit routines. I'm just giving you some practical tips here so that you can keep your focus on Jesus and in your routines, put Jesus in the center of that. Put Jesus in the middle of that new way of doing it. Put Jesus in the middle of that way of talking about it. See, Jonathan Cahn, I love his books. He wrote, "Where you look is where you will go. Life is a journey, and it is critical for you to look in the direction you are going and not in the direction you're not going. If we focus on that which is ungodly, impure, negative, evil, dark, or sinful, you will end up going there, away from God, to a dark place. In the end, you won't go where you say you will go. You will go where you looked. That which you dwell on, you will end up dwelling in. That which you dwell on, you will end up dwelling in." You see, let's fix our gaze on Jesus. So the only thing we can do is fall into his mercy and his grace and his love and the favor and the blessings that will pour out upon our lives, because that's what Jesus has for us. So let's keep our gaze on him. I love the Amplified in Proverbs 4:25-27. It'll be up on the screens for you. It says, "Let your eyes look directly ahead towards the path of moral courage." I love that because it takes a bit of courage in our society to be moral nowadays. It actually takes a coward to fall into what the world says. It takes a pretty bold, courageous person to say, "No, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not standing for what supposedly is right, because my word says it's not right. Because God asked me to not do it. You can call me a fool, you can call me whatever you want, but I'm gonna be a sold out Christian for him because he died on a cross for me, and now I'm gonna give my whole life for him, and I'm gonna do what he asked of me." You see, God is asking for those moral, courageous people. "And let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you." Oh, I love that. Don't get off to the left, don't get off to the right, but stay focused. Stay on your path. Do what God's called you to do towards the path of integrity. Verse 26, "Consider well and watch carefully the path of your feet, and all your ways will be steadfast and sure." Oh, I love that. That's a promise from God. You stay on your path, all your ways will be steadfast, and it will be sure. Verse 27, "Do not turn away to the right nor to the left, where evil may lurk. Turn your foot from the path of evil. Keep on the path of righteousness," right standing before God. "Keep on the path of holiness. Be holy, for he is holy." Number three, we are going to see through the lenses of faith. Many times you can be faced with a situation, and I find myself standing there, especially over just all the different decisions that come across our path and come across our desk. And many times I will sit there and I will listen for a long time. And then I will be talking to the Holy Spirit. "Show me what you need me to see right now, because I'm not understanding what's being said." Many times I'll sit in this sanctuary and I'll ask God, "What do you want me to say to somebody? Because I know that I have to have a conversation that's going to be a hard one." And all of a sudden, God will give me a word for them. God will bring something to my spirit man and to my remembrance. You see, I have to see through the lens of faith. When I hear the bad reports come in, I have to turn it around in my mind and go, no. That's what is said, but God's promises say that you're healed by the stripes on the cross. So that's what you stand on. God's promises say that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So fear is coming in and you're afraid for your life. We do get that around here a lot. And they, "What? No, I don't." You don't have to be afraid of those arrows, because God is your victor. He's on your side. I'll take them to the scripture. You see, we have to begin to see through the eyes of faith. You lost everything. Things are falling apart in your world. Your marriage fell apart. You lost your home. You lost your car. You lost your child. Those are heartbreaking moments, and God was with you in them, and he's still with you through them, and he's gonna get you to the other side of some healing and some peace in your heart. But in that journey, you need to see through the lenses of faith, because faith will keep you in those hard moments. Faith is going to move you to the next step when you wanna stay stagnant and you wanna sit down and go, "This is where I'm at, God. I don't wanna go anywhere else." And God says, "Look to me and see through my eyes and get in faith and stand up, child, because you're my child. And when you're hurting, I'm with you. I will hold your hand through this. I will take your heart and I will comfort it and I will guard it through this moment. You see, the King of Heaven is on your side. The King of Heaven adores you and he loves you and he wants you to begin to see things the way that he sees things. He wants you to see yourself the way he sees you. He wants you to see your circumstances the way that he sees them. Many times Dan and I will be talking about something. The other day I was frustrated with my kitchen again here. I'm talking about the kitchen again because obviously I cook a lot. I'm like, this kitchen, and it's like sprouting like oil in my face while I'm cooking, and I'm just like getting irritated. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. When can we remodel this thing? It's like so small. And he says, oh, and I'm like, it's never going to happen. Do you ever do that? And he's like, well, you can have that if you want it, but you can get in faith for a new one, and then we can have a new. I'm like, oh yeah, duh. Stupid me, like, hello. So you know what I'm gonna do? I already said tomorrow's my day off. So I'm gonna get online, I'm gonna find a kitchen I love. I'm gonna print the picture out and I'm gonna slap it on my refrigerator. And I'm gonna ask God for that kitchen. I'm gonna ask him to provide for it. I'm gonna ask him to help me to get it. I'm gonna ask for good deals and better deals because I'm not gonna stay in a small mentality in something that keeps me boxed in and I can't get out of it. This is just a stupid little metaphor for our lives. But sometimes we live in this really small world and we look down and we just go, this is all God has for me. And God says, would you knock it off? Open up your eyes. Get in faith for something bigger. You need to see bigger and greater, more capacity, greater lengths for you to go, bigger people to touch, more people to touch, more people to speak into your life, more children to have. Some of you in here said, oh, well, I was told I can't have kids and I've tried for years. Oh, come on, get in faith, daughter of the Most High. Ask God to rejuvenate that womb. I've seen God heal people. I've seen babies come out of those wombs that should have never had a womb that was called dead. God has put babies in. You see, God can do miracles. What was I thinking living in this small mentality? Oh, we serve a really big God, guys. We serve a really big God. You might look around and see small things, but begin to switch your thinking. Begin to switch it. Begin to switch it. No. I'm going to see through the eyes of faith. This marriage looks like it's gone and I don't know what to do. Oh, but I'm going to get in faith. I'm going to get in faith because there's not been adultery and they're not abusive. We just don't like each other. Well, you know what? Guess what? I don't like Pastor Dan a lot of times. And he doesn't like me, but we always love each other. We always say that. We love you. I love you, but I don't like you right now. It's time to get back in. It's time to step back in. It's time to get back in faith over your family. You think your kids, they just can't come back from where they've gone. Really? Because we were a hot mess when God accepted us, and he loved us through that. So what more can God do for your kids? I was a hot mess, but my mama was a praying mama. She hit her knees, and I'm thanking God she did because she pulled me and my sister and my other sister and my brother right out of hell. And we are saved. We're all serving God. We're all preaching the gospel because I'm telling you, we were saved from something extreme. We had a big God, and my mom saw through the eyes of faith, not what she was hearing come out of my mouth as a jerky teenager, but she saw the woman that I could be in the future. What is it that you need to see past that standing in front of you and over that obstacle in faith? Get in faith, guys. Let's believe for incredible things. God has something amazing for us tonight. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to be a church that looks where we're going. And we're not going to be like David, but we're going to be like the blind man that receives our salvation. And we're going to receive it. We're going to guard our eye gate. We're going to fix our gaze. Ooh, I love that. And we are going to do amazing things, and we're going to see through the lenses of faith. Tonight, you may be sitting in this room going, that sounds amazing. Like, I have been feeling like I've been blind. I want to know this Jesus that blind man met. I want to know who he is. I want to feel him. I want to be in a walk in life with him. Well, listen, tonight is your night. Jesus has your number. You're not here by chance. He loves you so intimately and passionately. You had a divine appointment tonight, and you came.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.